Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 9th. I'm your host, RJB. I'm the executive director of Heritage Radio Network. This is Amuse News. Thanks for joining me on this adventure through the food world, learning, listening, eating. As I've told you last week, we will be featuring interviews, conversations, and other stuff with people from across the food world, friends, chefs, writers, food advocates, and HRN Zone interns, advisors, hosts, and more. We're trying to just make a destination for everyone who's looking for a fun and insightful look at food. So we are going to start. Well, today I have a guest. We're going to be talking about pizza, which is near and dear to my heart and probably to everyone else's hearts as well. I have some interesting perspectives to bring you on pizza and pizza conversation in this day and age. So I'm going to do that in a few minutes. First, I wanted to talk a little bit about news. And if you're listening to this podcast, thank you for tuning in and thank you for joining us. If you're streaming live, thank you for streaming. And put your questions, thoughts, and all that stuff into the chat because we want to hear what you're up to and what you're thinking. Okay, so first thing is that in terms of news, as I said, we're going to be pizza focused or as much as possible. We have a new episode of Pizza Quest, which is a great show on HRN. This episode features Peter Friedman, who runs All Purpose Pizza Shop. My guest Jim, I think he knows about that. I don't know if he went to All Purpose when he was in DC, but it's a cool interview because Peter, who runs All Purpose, he talks about his career working with Rich Melman, Chef Mark Vitri in Philly, and also Jose Andres. So there's a lot of conversation about pizza, and Pizza Quest is a really fun show that's been around for a long time. Okay, one piece of follow up on the conversation we had last week about the minimum wage fast food issue in California. I've been seeing some of these, but wanted to share a pizza-related one, which is that Mod Pizza has shut down 27 restaurants across the U.S., including 5 in California, in the last month. And there is some there are many reasons for businesses kind of shutting down and going out of business and all that. But definitely, the minimum wage hike was a part of that. And last week, when I was talking about this, I got a couple DMs about the flip side of the perspective, because I said we could all pay like an extra 15 cents for a cheeseburger, but I got a couple DMs from people from the restaurant industry who said like there is another perspective on this, in that there are people who, you know, there are restaurants who are going to be really affected by these things. So if you're one of those people and you want to talk about it, would love to have you on the show. But it does look like there are some restaurants being affected, which is unfortunate. Okay. We have a new episode of Snacky Tunes. Not sure if everyone knows that podcast. You probably do, because it's been around for a long time. Darren is a great host. He hits both coasts this week. He sat down in New York City with Chef Dan Kluger of Grey Wind. We talked about Grey Wind last week. They are one of the restaurants that has donated a meal for two for our 15th anniversary campaign. And Darren talks with Chef Dan just about his culinary career. And then Darren dips into the archives for a performance from Matt Costa at Danger Bird Studios in LA. So we have a little New York and LA combo on Snacky Tunes. Again, one of our longest running HRN shows, food, music, lots of other stuff. The last thing I want to talk about before I bring my guest on is that, as everyone knows, we're celebrating our 15th anniversary. And as part of that, we're creating a fundraising campaign. We're offering donors unique food and music experiences in a bunch of cities. We have about a week left in the campaign. If you donate to HRN, you can support our internship and education programs, and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in the city of your choice. And the city I want to highlight today, which I will get some input on from my guest, who I'm going to bring on because he was just there, I think, is Asheville. So we have a, for the meal, we actually have two gift cards. I have them right here, from two separate but related restaurants, Chai Pani and Bariwala. They're both Indian restaurants in Asheville. And the chef, I guess 2009, I think Chef Irani opened Chai Pani with his wife and business partner Molly. And they had a vision for what they wanted to create, which was to serve street food and home cooked meals, the most underrepresented Indian foods in Western culture. And Bariwala, again, run by the same family, is their homage to cafes in India, tea and kebab houses. So really cool and unique restaurants in Asheville. And then for music, there's a festival called AVL Fest, which fills up local concert halls, clubs, venues with a lineup of local, regional, national talent. It's a really, really cool festival, Thursday, August 1st through Sunday, August 4th. And so if you donate to HRN, you can go to heritageradionetwork.org/15 and you can get two tickets to AVL Fest if you win, and dinner at Bariwala and lunch at Chai Pani. So that's pretty cool. And I just want to thank the Asheville Independent Arts and Music folks, IMAVL, for their donation of two tickets to the festival. Thank you guys for supporting us. So we are going to be keeping this fundraiser going for another week or so. Really helps us out and helps us create a really cool education program. Okay, so now I want to bring on my guest. We're going to talk about pizza. And I guess I should just say that I wanted to check in with this person. His name's Jim Williams. He's one of my closest friends. And he also happens to be the person who loves pizza more than anyone I know. And now, as part of this job, I go to New York every week. I go to various pizza places. And I kind of see these screenshots from Jim from these pizza groups on Facebook. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I can't believe how much these people love pizza. But Jim, hey, Jim.
Hey, RJ.
Thanks for joining me about this. So I feel like I love food. I know you do too, but like pizza has this thing where it's like, I don't know what it is, but it feels like people have a sense of like outrage at certain pizza and a sense of like delight at certain pizza. I don't know if like there's another food that creates so much like excitement and is so divisive and also is like just talked about so much on the internet.
Yeah.
Does it feel like that too?
Yeah. It's everybody grows up with pizza, right? Everybody has their favorite. Everybody, there's a lot of nostalgia around it. There's a lot of different things that you can pick. You can pick your crust, you can pick your toppings, you can pick your favorite chain, you can pick your favorite independent pizza place. So I think maybe the fact that there's so much room for choices helps drive the discussion around pizza, and also the fact that it is delicious is probably another reason.
So we talk about pizza a lot, and I just think it's interesting that like, so I go to New York, you know, and of course in New York there's 1,000 pizza places, and even if you just look like a random pizza place, like there are opinions, you know, and they're like, I think the internet has helped kind of make this into something that people just want to discuss all the time. When did you discover internet pizza discussions?
Yeah, about a year ago, I came across a Facebook group called Pizzaholics. And I like pizza, so I decided to join it, not really knowing what to expect, thinking maybe, you know, I would find out about some good places in New York, or maybe even some good places locally where I live in North Carolina, or just some cool pictures of pizza in my Facebook feed. So I joined the group, and I quickly found out that, of course, like anything on the internet, it's kind of a war zone in the comments section, and with people making their posts. So that was interesting. A lot of back and forth. A lot of the discourse is you know, arguing about which regional style is the best, whether that's New York City or New Haven is another one where they're fiercely proud of their pizza in New Haven, and it looks delicious. So that seems right to me. But you know, they get into fights about it, and then there's Buffalo, New York, totally different thing. Detroit style has its group of fans. So there's a lot for a long time when I, after I joined the group, it was regional wars between the New York people and even the New Jersey people and the Buffalo people and the New Haven people. So a lot of that kind of criticism and good natured, mostly good natured ribbing between people.
So I think there's like 172,000 members of this group. Can you go in and just post a picture of Domino's if you want to, or is there like a hierarchy that makes sure that people only see like, I don't know, interesting or unique pizza?
I've never tried to post, but my impression is that anybody can post because some of the posts are pretty wild. But sometimes people do either ironically post a picture of Domino's or Pizza Hut or earnestly post a picture of Domino's or Pizza Hut. And, you know, they'll either say, sometimes people will post a Pizza Hut to say, this is way better than New Haven. And that gets everybody all riled up. Or sometimes people will say, oh man, this is the Pizza Hut pan crust, just like when I was a kid, you know, still brings me back. And a lot of people will be like, yeah, me too.
Do you think that like the, I mean, maybe this is obvious, but it feels like the internet gave rise to like all kinds of stuff that, you know, maybe is ruining society in some ways. But for people who like are obsessed with pizza, like, do you think that they, how did people do it before like message boards? I mean, do you think that pizza has been this like much of an interest to people forever, and now it's just sort of consolidated on the internet? Or do you think it gave like a platform for this?
I think it's both. You know, I think it's like, and there's good and bad sides to all this stuff on the internet and social media too, right? Like, you have like-minded people coming together to discuss things that they like, but then also they're all sitting behind a computer screen, so they can argue about it in a nasty way without consequences. So you get both of those things. I do, you know, and the other cliche is like the internet allows for faster sharing of information. So, you know, now I've never been to New Haven in my life, but I know the top four pizza places there. If I go there, I'm ready. Right. Yeah. Whereas before, yeah, I would have had to have an uncle that grew up there or a friend, or I'd have to walk around on the street saying, hey, what's the best pizza place?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to say, I had to take my kids to basketball last night, and on the way home, we picked up Domino's, and I had a Domino's thin crust pizza. It was really good, you know?
Domino's revamped their formula 8 or 10 years ago, and it's pretty good. I mean, I think it's the best of the national chains. It wasn't always that way, but when they did that change, I think it became the best, and I feel like their quality control is really good among the national chains. And a lot of people don't, you know, aren't up on that, or they just, yeah, you know, they last had Domino's 10 years ago and they've moved on, but Domino's is pretty good.
So what are like the biggest trends that people are talking about in pizza right now? Cause you mentioned there's regions, there's different styles. Like what are the three biggest things happening in pizza discussion, as it were?
Yeah. In terms of toppings, hot honey is really big. People are putting that on a lot of different things, and it's really taking off on pizza. I think even Pizza Hut has introduced a hot honey pizza as one of their specials in 2024. So that just goes to show, you know, when it hits the chain, that must mean that it's a big trend, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similarly to how Little Caesars introduced a Detroit-style pizza a few years ago. So hot honey and other kind of glazes and drizzles on a pizza are big. Like sometimes you'll see balsamic vinaigrette on a pizza, or a ranch swirl, or a buffalo sauce, or hot honey in particular. So I feel like those sauces, those special sauces, are big. Another one is, you know, people are talking a lot about the different regional styles, what they're like, if they're good or not, what are the differences, what's your favorite? That's another thing that's like the internet is definitely driving. You know, I didn't know that Detroit style pizza existed until 15 years ago or so, when there was a food truck locally that introduced it. I'd never heard of it. But now you see people talking about it on the internet a lot. Again, on Pizzaholics, there's all these wars between the regions, Buffalo style, Ohio has a contingent, New York,
which is ridiculous being from Ohio, you know.
Well, you know, Midwestern pizza is its own thing, and
yeah, it's true.
It's like true. Anything, there's pros and cons to it, which is something that I'm learning as well. But yeah, you know, even within New York City, Brooklyn versus Manhattan, some people claim that Staten Island has the best New York pizza. So it's pretty interesting. And then the other trend that I see a lot on some of the pizza groups on social media is home baking. There's mm-hmm. all these different kinds of pizza ovens that you can buy now. Uni, we have a friend that has an Uni and his pizzas look amazing. Make them in the backyard.
It looks like an artisan workshop, pizza workshop.
Yeah, it's like Neapolitan. It looks great. So there's several different companies that make these nice backyard home pizza ovens, but also you can get like a pizza stone for your oven or a pizza steel plate to put your cook your pizza on in your home oven, and it makes it so that the temperature is higher than it would be normally in a residential oven. So baking at home, it seems like another big trend, and people share crust recipes online and sauce recipes and what's the best brand of cheese to buy and stuff like that. So that's fun too.
Yeah. I want to just go back to the hot honey thing because Roberta is where HRN started. I think probably one of their most popular pizzas is called Bee Sting, and it's tomato, mozzarella, sopressata, basil, chili, and honey. So like the chili and honey are kind of separate, but it's a really, really good pizza, but you do see that kind of everywhere now. I feel like it was a special thing that's now like kind of everywhere. I guess that happens with pizza. My kids won't eat Detroit style, and they also won't eat thin crust. Like they, you know, like the two extremes are like, and Detroit style is like a whole thing. I mean, it's kind of like eating a pie or something, but, and then my daughter said that eating thin crust is like eating crackers. It's interesting. Do you have a preference? Like or are you just like all pizzas great?
I'll take any pizza I can get, but I do like Detroit style a lot. I like the way that the cheese caramelizes on the edges. And I like that kind of fluffy deep dish. Some people don't, and that's fine. It is very carb heavy, so that's understandable.
Yeah.
But thin crust is good too. It kind of depends on the mood. Of course, there's nothing wrong with your classic like thin crust, New York style crust.
Yeah.
I think kids tend to like that because it's probably the easiest to eat, and you can kind of fold it up and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's I guess I want to ask, what is it? What do you think it is about pizza that makes people so passionate? I mean, food in general makes people passionate, I think, but there's something about pizza that like really can rile people up. Like, what do you think that is?
There's so many different choices and preferences, even if you're just talking about Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, people feel really strongly about which one they like the best. And it might just be what their family ordered when they were a teenager the most, right? Or Little Caesars or whatever. I think a lot of it is nostalgia. It's really easy to eat and you can customize it to your preferences whenever, as much as you want. And so I think all that stuff kind of drives the emotion around it. But I think particularly everybody in America probably grew up with some version of pizza. And they think of that as like a nice, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia around that. And I think that probably adds into the emotion around the discussion about it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I was looking before this because as I mentioned before you joined there, we have a show on HRN called Pizza Quest, which is really awesome. Peter Reinhardt, who is an award-winning baker and, you know, he's an author and he has great conversations about pizza. But looking on Apple Podcasts, there's at least 100 pizza podcasts, you know, and it's like I can't think of another food that would have, I mean, maybe wine or beer, but like an actual food item that has its own you know, industry of content.
Yeah. It's hilarious. And I mean, at first I'm like, wow, 100 pizza podcasts, but then I started thinking about it and I'm like, okay, well, you could do one that's just New York City, you could do one that's just Brooklyn, and you know, God knows how many pizza places are in Brooklyn. 250. There's your 250 episodes right there. You know, you go to every one. And a lot of people would listen to it. But then, you know, you can talk about home baking. You can talk about ingredients. You can talk about trends among the national chains. There's a lot of different topics of discussion.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Well, okay, so how do you – is there a resurgence of, like, regular – not regular. You talked about this a little bit, but, like, Domino's, Pizza Hut, like, is there a resurgence of those, and how are the conversations on the message boards about like a Domino's versus, you know, you go to Sally's for the first time or whatever? Like, how are those conversations?
most of the posts on Pizzaholics are people who are going to local, renowned local establishments and, you know, almost as a pilgrimage, or they grew up there. So, you know, in New Haven, it's Sally's, it's Modern. There's a couple other ones that people always talk about, and you see posts all the time where it's like, first time at Sally's, I waited in line for an hour, it was great. And then, you know, in the comments, somebody will say, well, it was better 5 years ago, right? typical internet stuff. But, there's less talk about the chains. Sometimes, like I said, people will make those earnest posts where it's like, hey, I think Domino's has really gotten better. And some people will say, yeah, that's true. But, you know, for me, I go to the place down the street and I always have that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the most exciting thing happening when you, like, what do you get most excited about when you see, what kind of conversation on Pizzaholics is most exciting for you?
I like learning more. Like, I've learned so much about New Haven. I had always heard New Haven pizza was great, but I didn't even really know what differentiated it from New York City. Turns out a lot. They make it in coal ovens. they use a certain kind of cheese. A lot of these places have been around for 100 years. So just learning about other kind of renowned pizza shops around the country. Some of them in places I didn't even know. Sometimes people in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm about 2.5 hours from, they'll be like, oh, this is the best place in Charlotte. And I'm like, oh, okay. I get over there sometimes. I might have to remember that. So just learning about other places, other cities, how they do their pizza and what the most renowned pizza places are there is interesting to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's the most ridiculous conversation that you've seen recently on Pizzaholics?
Oh, it's always, you know, it's always your typical thing. People fighting over, you know, New York City versus New Haven versus Buffalo versus Detroit versus New Jersey versus other. Philadelphia has a strong pizza contingent too. You probably know that.
Yeah.
Good shops there, but it's, you know, it's the, people will post something from New Haven and it looks good to me.
Yeah.
But then you got six people saying, oh, it's burnt, disgusting. Ugh, come to New York, come to Buffalo, give me a break. So I get a lot of that stuff. The one thing that I don't see as much of at all, I can't remember seeing a post from like a California style pizza person in Pizzaholics. I'm not sure why that is. California style pizza kind of has a reputation of using a lot of different toppings, putting a lot of vegetables on it, farm to table stuff, more healthy. So it may be that these people in Pizzaholics just aren't as interested in stuff like that. Or maybe that the California pizza just have better things to do with their time than argue about pizza. But that's the one thing that I think about sometimes, because you see all the different styles represented, but you don't see a lot of California pizza enthusiasts there.
I guess, what can you just tell me quickly, what is Buffalo pizza?
It's,
or like, why is it a thing? Like, I've never heard of it until, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago when you, I think you mentioned it.
Yeah, me too. I kind of had it in my mind that I think Buffalo pizza is a thing, but now I've been seeing pictures of it. And from what I can tell, it's a thicker crust than New York style. So it's not the thin floppy kind that you fold. But it's not deep dish either. It's just kind of a thicker crust base. There, it seems like there's more toppings. There's more cheese. There's more sauce. There's more toppings. There's more everything. So it looks heavier to me. It looks good. But it also looks like the kind of thing, if you could sit down and eat three slices of New York style pizza pretty easily because it's so thin, you might not be able to get that far on a Buffalo pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have to... I'll have to check out Buffalo pizza at some point. I don't know. It's hard to get to Buffalo, you know?
Right.
It's kind of far away. Okay, Jim, will you do some quick pizza trivia with us?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to ask you these questions and then I'll give you the four potential answers and then you give me your guess. All right. Okay. First, what percentage of Americans who actually eat pizza eat it at least once per month? 22%, 47%, 79%, 93%.
I want to say 93, but we'll go with the next highest, 77.
You were right the first time, 93%. Nice. So 93% of people who say they eat pizza eat it once per month, which is, I guess, you know, not surprising, but it's kind of amazing. Okay, Second question. What percentage of Americans eat pizza for breakfast? 2%, 24%, 36%, 55%.
I'll go 36.
You're good. That's right. Okay. Last one. On average, how many slices of pizza does a single American consume in 1 year? 19, 46, 63, or 75?
75.
46.
Okay.
But I'm getting
overexcited.
But I think I have more than 46.
Yeah, I'm right? I know I do. I know, I'm never going to calculate it though. That's bad. That's a bad idea. Yeah,
no, I might have had half of that last night with a thin crust. Jim, do you have a last best bite or last best meal that you've had over the past couple weeks?
With pizza? No, not really. I had some slices from a place called Randy's Pizza here in Durham, North Carolina, which is a pretty solid New York style shop. But in terms of anything noteworthy, even though I have been traveling a little bit lately, I did not get to any renowned pizza places on the last couple trips I was at. So nothing to write home about, but always keeping it solid with the local shop, right?
Yeah, that's great. Well, you need to come on your trip to Philly. We'll go to Pizza John, and we'll go to all the places.
Sounds good.
Okay, so last question actually. Is there a particular movie? I know you're a movie person. Is there a particular movie that you love that has like a pizza scene or that pizza is like prominent in? Is there anything that comes to mind when you think of pizza and movies?
There's that movie called Mystic Pizza, right? Yeah. I've actually never seen it, but my wife likes that movie. And one thing that I learned from Pizzaholic, so Mystic Pizza is a real pizza shop, and everybody on Pizzaholic says it's terrible. But it's like but it's like a tourist trap now because of the movie. Mm-hmm. Everybody on Pizzaholic is like, "Don't go, it's terrible." And I don't know. I don't want to talk bad about them, but I haven't had it. But I thought that was interesting. The other scene that comes to my mind is in the movie Home Alone, where Kevin gets left home alone and he orders the pizza and he goes, "Ah, lovely cheese pizza just for me." People, I feel like people say that all the time. It's kind of people say that from that movie, and it kind of speaks to the comfort that pizza brings people.
That's awesome. All right. I just want to say one more time before we wrap up that when you come to Philly, we're going to go to, I think we can maybe over the course of the weekend, go to Pizzeria Bedia. We can go to Pizza John. We can go to Santucci's, maybe Shekamaxon. I think we can hit 4 or 5 in a weekend. So
sounds great.
We should do that. We should do that.
That sounds great.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Jim, for joining us. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll be back on Thursday. On Thursday, I'm going to talk with Brandon Hoy, who's the founder and one of the founders of Roberta's Pizza, who also now has 2 restaurants in the New York Times top 100, including the #2 restaurant in New York City. So stay tuned for that coming on Thursday. Jim, thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.